Good morning, everyone. This is Sunday morning, September the 9th, 2022. I know a lot of people are recognizing this in remembrance of the day of 9/11. I just want to come on this morning to continue on my weekly catalogs of going back and God having me to give testimonies out of my life. Some testimonies will be testimonies that are recent, some will be past. And so today I'm going to do some past testimonies of this happened to me back in high school. I was in high school, and in my particular high school, we had different graduate plans. And the graduate plan that I was on, you had to have a foreign language, and you had to have 2 years of that foreign language. So my counselor signed me up for Spanish 1. And so my freshman year, I took Spanish 1, passed it and everything. The second year, I took Spanish 2, which was my sophomore year, and I had the same teacher that I had my freshman year. Now, this second year, I realized the fall semester, this teacher literally flunked me majority of the semester, you know, flunked me majority of the semester with my grades and everything. It made me end up knowing that I was going to have to retake that fall semester of my junior year. And I couldn't understand what it was. I'm like, I'm doing my work. I'm like, I'm not understanding what it was and everything. So then one day I was in class, and one of the young men in my class that was a year ahead of me, I knew he was an honor roll student. And I knew he made, you know, A's and B's and stuff. So I was like, I asked him one day, we got back a paper, and I had an F on his paper. I think it was a test. I don't think it was a homework assignment. I think this was a test. And I asked him, could I see his paper? When I saw his paper, some of the answers that was on my paper marked wrong or marked right on his paper, it was the same answer. So I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'm like, why is this teacher purposely failing me, purposely saying that stuff on my paper was wrong in order to give me an F? So the second semester of my sophomore year, I ended up failing that semester. I was talking to my parents about it and everything. I didn't understand, you know, what the deal was. So they put me in my junior year, my fall semester, back into the Spanish 2 class the fall semester. So I passed that semester, same teacher, passed that semester pretty much by the skin of my teeth, which I really didn't understand. And so that spring semester of my junior year, they didn't put me back in the Spanish 2 class like they should have. They had me signed up for another class that semester, so it was conflicting. So they was like, well, you can just take the second half in your spring semester of your senior year. So moving forward to the spring semester of my senior year, you know, in the school, I don't know how to do the stuff now, because I know they've made a lot of changes and things. Our years was broke up into two semesters. We had the fall semester and the spring semester. And our fall semester consisted of the first 6 weeks, second 6 weeks, and third 6 weeks. Our spring semester consisted of the fourth 6 weeks, fifth 6 weeks, and the sixth 6 week. So the fourth 6 week, which was the first 6 weeks of the spring semester, we was halfway through the semester, and you know how they give you your grades, like the progress of your grades. I was failing. And I'm like, I went to this man because I didn't understand why I was failing. He point blank, my Spanish teacher point blank told me to my face that he was going to flunk me that semester and I was not going to be able to graduate from high school. I want you to hear me and hear me very clearly. This is a grown man that threatened a teenage student that I'm finna mess up your future. No reason at all. I had never disrespected this man or nothing like that. But I, at all the time that I had been in his class from my freshman year all the way up, I noticed other students would disrespect him and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't that kind of student. And so I went into prayer and I started praying and asking God to touch his heart. I'm like, Lord, please touch this man's heart because I can't afford to flunk this class. I got to graduate from high school. I was really, really praying. And so by the fourth week of the six-week period, in that fourth, six-week period, because I went to him as soon as I got my report the third week. By the fourth week, he dropped dead. They couldn't find this man's grade book anywhere. There was no way. They looked in his place where he lived. They looked in his vehicle. They looked in his stuff that he had at the school. Nowhere could they find his grade book. So they had to bring in a substitute teacher. And that substitute teacher, when he came in, he told us, he said, look, you only got 2 weeks left in this 6 week period. And because we can't find the teacher's grade book, whatever your grade is going to be during this 2 week period, then that's the grade that you're going to get. And so as they told us that and everything, I knew this was an intervention by God. And so as the 2 weeks progressed, they had to end up giving me the grade for what I made within that 2 week period. So I ended up getting a B in the class. Now, as everything progressed, I remember there was a student in my class, and I don't know how he knew what he knew. To this day, I don't know what it was. I was really excited about the fact that I was going to be able to graduate and that there was not going to be a problem with this, with my grades. This student said to me one day, he told me, you just happy that man died so that you could graduate. And I just looked at him like, huh? Okay, so I wasn't happy that the man died, but I was happy that I was going to graduate from high school. What is this saying? Let me give you some background information on the testimony. Well, the Spirit of God, when I was praying, first of all, God kind of let me know something was going to happen to that man. And I begged the Lord for him. I asked the Lord to change his heart, and I begged the Lord for his life and all these kind of things. The Lord let me know that the problem that the man had with me was not like a natural problem. His problem he had with me is that the Spirit of God lived inside of me, and this man was a homosexual. And so, the Lord was letting me know, he was like, he's in sin. And so the spirit that is abiding in him through his sin is what's coming up against you. He was like, he was trying to let me know not to take it personal and everything. So needless to say, like I said, I ended up with a B for that fourth 6 weeks, and I had B's for the next 2 6 weeks. And so I graduated. It didn't affect my, it didn't mess up my GPA or nothing like that. And I was able to complete, because I wouldn't have been able to graduate if I didn't complete that class with a passing grade. And so I was thanking the Lord for that. Why God got me telling that? Because we have situations that come up in our lives where the enemy used people to get in the way of us and our goals, our blessings, the things that God has promised us are the things that are rightfully ours. And so the Lord wants you to know, see, what he did for me was the same thing he did for the children of Israel. He wiped out their enemies. Now, I didn't consider this teacher as my enemy, but yet he was my enemy. He was directly set to destroy me for no reason at all. And what that said. Another part of the testimony I need to tell you about this, because I left aside and the Holy Ghost is telling me to bring, he's bringing it back up to me. That sophomore year when I was taking that Spanish 2 class, I had a cousin that was living with me at the time. Both of us was in that class together. Now, she passed the class and I flunked it. Come on, y'all. Think about it. If both of us in that class and we live together, why would I be flunking and she passing and we doing the same work? Food for thought. So it was a purpose thing, but it was a purpose thing when the scripture tells us the, what the enemy, what the, you know, what the enemy meant for bad, that God would turn it around for good. But at the same token, God knew, he allowed it to be so because he wanted to prove to me, because when I graduated from high school, I was 17 years old. So when I had this conversation with this man, I was 17 years old. And so the Lord, you know, wanted me to know, as a teenager, I am with you. You know, you don't, you know, anything that's standing before you, against you, I am with you with this, because I prayed earnestly for this man's heart. I wanted him to be delivered. I wanted, you know, whatever was wrong between the two of us to be made right. And so God knew that that wasn't going to be the case. And so, you know, this man just dropped dead instantly. And they couldn't find his grade book anyway. You knew that was God. God buried that thing. He hid that thing to where his child would be able to go forward without that being over here. I look back over there even on to this day, and I'm grateful to God. Because it taught me something, that God really loved me. And let me tell you something. At 17 years old, I was going to a church where I was not taught about God like that. You know, I could pretty much tell you what my pastor was going to preach about every Sunday. Whatever he started his sermon out with, he was going to end it with Days of Our Lives and All Our Children and Jeopardy and all this other kind of stuff. I couldn't bit more tell you what he was preaching about than a man in the moon. But God himself was drawing me to himself. And I had a relationship with him for myself. Now, leads me into the other part of my the second testimony that he wanted me to give in today's testimony session. I'm still in high school. So this is around the time of the same thing when I first had the issues with that Spanish 2 teacher. He flunked me my whole sophomore year, right? So you remember I told you my junior year that the counselor didn't allow me to take the spring semester in my junior year. Well, the class that I was taking in lieu of that was a business financial class. And this particular class, I didn't know it at the time, but it was being the teacher who was supposed to teach the class. They had something that happened there where they got sick or something. It was something going on with their body where they were going to have to be out for the whole semester. So they had to bring in a substitute teacher that was going to be there for the whole semester. At the time, I had no idea that this teacher was an angel. None whatsoever. And I'm not talking about how people be talking about we as human beings are angels. That's crap. You know, I mean, you know, we, those who are pastors, when you look in Revelations, when he said to the angel of the church, da, 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 the pastor is looked at as an angel. Yeah, in that case, yes. But human beings are not angels. We are created lower than angels. And we shall one day judge the angels. I don't even know where people get this stuff from. They, oh, when you die, you turn to an angel. I'm like, that is not scriptural whatsoever. Because if that was the truth, then we couldn't judge the angels. Because we ourselves would be one. So that spring semester of my junior year, the Lord had me in that class. I noticed I had enough knowledge of the fact that when I would step out of the hallway into that classroom, that it was a totally two different atmospheres. And one of the things that I always remember is that when I stepped into the class, it was like it was so clean. And my school was not a dirty school at all. Don't get me wrong. I graduated from David W. Carter. Our school was not dirty. There's a lot of lies and a lot of different things that's out there about my high school that I don't agree with. And it's giving people the wrong perception of what the school's like and the environment and all that. Because for those of you all who watched the movie about Carter, there are lies in that movie. I mean, one of the biggest blatant lies is when they show you the school and they make it seem like it's apartments behind the school. There are brick homes behind David W. High School. And so I've watched people who didn't know anything about our area have a wrong perception of what we was. What we are. And I never forget, I had a lady that was going to my church. I literally had to drive her to my high school and for her to look at what was around the high school, for her to see that she had been sold a bit of lies. She had a thought process about a place that she had never been based upon a lie that she saw in the movie. And so I was like, this is not true. The pricelessness of how she looked on her face when she saw it was just awesome. Okay, that's just a little sidebar information, but let me get back into the testimony. So I noticed that there was a big difference between that classroom and all the other classes that I was in and all the other areas of the school I was in. It was like, the only way I could put it, it was like it was white in that room. What it was a lot of light in there, and it felt clean. It was like when I was in the hallway, it literally like I was stepping out of darkness into the light every time I would go into that classroom. And had no perception of none of this stuff because no one was around me to teach me anything about this stuff. So the teacher, who was actually an angel, was very drawn to me. And I was drawn to her, you know. But I noticed that she had a constant glow on her face. And it wasn't, okay, so I've been around a lot of anointed people, you know, that's got a heavy anointing on them. And I see in the spirit, I can see the anointing when it's resting on them. But this was different from what I've ever seen. At that time, I had never seen it. But I'm saying, since then, you know, what I've ever seen over the years in the anointing, I've seen the anointing at times on myself when I stand in the mirror or something, you know, God have shown it to me. The way we look, when the glory of God is on us and anointed on us, did not look the way this looked on this woman. But I was a child. I was a teenager. I didn't understand those things. You understand? I didn't know anything about that. So I noticed I always kept looking at her. I always looked at her, and she would always wear her hair parted in the middle and pulled into a ponytail at the back. And she always wore a white long sleeve shirt. And she would have on a long skirt that would come down to her ankles. And her shoes were like, they was kind of like shoes to me that I would see somebody wear. I used to like to watch Little House on the Prairie or older movies. Like, and you know, if you think about Amish women or what kind of shoes and stuff they would wear, it would be something along those lines. And she was a beautiful woman. And I never forget that when I started getting close to her, she started writing out what she called prescriptions for my soul. She would use these index cards. And on the index cards, she would write down scriptures that she wanted me to go home and read that night. And I faithfully went home and read these scriptures. Now, she carried her Bible with her in the classroom. And during that time when I was in high school, that was during the time that they was telling the teachers that they couldn't bring the Bibles into the school. And so she was totally going against that. Their Norman allergy stuff, period, you know. And I remember one event that happened one day that stuck out in my mind. It stuck out in my mind so strong till it gauged what was going to happen to me in college. This young man that I knew in high school that I kind of had a crush on him, and he was trying to find out where my class was that period, and I would always like disappear so he wouldn't know like where this class was gonna be, right? So one day, I guess he had made up in his mind he was going to know exactly where I was that class period, because it was my fifth period class. And he had followed me, and he saw where I was, the class hours, and he was standing out in the hallway. And I went in the classroom. I put my books down when I came, because I came back to the door because I had a feeling he was going to still be standing there. And my teacher always stood at the front door. She always stood at the door in the hallway to greet the students coming in. And I came back out, and I was standing next to her on the other side, because I love this woman. I just love being around her. And I looked over, and I saw him. He was just staring at me, because I think he wanted me to come across the hallway, but I wasn't getting ready to do that. And so, because first of all, I couldn't date. I had a strict parents. My mother and father was like, no dating until you're 18. Now, mind you, this is my junior year, so I'm nowhere near 18. I graduated from high school at 17. So I was sitting there, and I saw him, and this look came across her eyes. It was a very piercing look. And it's like this person look went straight through him. He this boy got scared and took off running. I saw her, but I didn't want her to know I seen her. So I quickly changed my face like I was still looking straight, because I didn't want her to know I was looking at her. I saw her eyes, and I never ever forgot how her eyes looked. It didn't look normal. It didn't look like something that I've ever seen a human being, you know, do. And so when we, you know, we be in the classroom and stuff, there were times I was sitting. Eventually she moved me from off the tables where the students were sitting, and she put me a desk, and she got a desk and set me right next to her by her desk. And so she could be able to just lean over anytime and write down stuff. And so students noticed that me and this woman had a certain kind of relationship. You know, comments and stuff was being made. Different things was going on. But, you know, I didn't care anyway, because I was like, okay, I'm enjoying this because I wanted to know more about God. I wanted to be close to God. And I remember one day the students were acting up real bad, and she started crying. And it's like when she started crying, when a tear dropped, this righteous anger rose up in me, and I was telling the class to shut up, you know, because they was making her do something that didn't need to be done. I had no idea that I actually was interceding on their behalf until later on when God gave me revelation of it. Fred Hammond sung a song years ago, and in the song he said, "It's enough to make the angels cry." And if you really understand it, you don't want to see an angel cry. It's not a good thing for them to cry. And so God was letting me know later on that there was actually an intercession for those people's lives. Okay, so during that semester, another class, I had a minister come in, and he substituted for the class. I think he substituted for like a couple of days. And he was a minister. He called me up to the front one day to ask me a question. And he put a cup of water in front of me on a desk, and it was half full. And he asked me about what did I see with the cup of water. So I started telling him what I saw. And so when I told him what I saw, he looked at me and he told me, he said, you know what? Out of all these children in this class, the Lord told me to bring you up here. He told me he knew I was different. And he was telling me that, you know, God had something special for me to do for him, you know. You know, I was like, oh, okay. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what it is, you know. But I was like, oh, okay, Lord. And so I started telling him about my fifth period class, the lady that was teaching class, and how she was giving me different scriptures and stuff, and how I was going home reading the scriptures and all these kind of things. And he was excited. He was like, well, I would like to be there. I said, well, okay. So I was telling him, you know, where the classroom was, and, you know, so he could come and be there. Every time this man tried to go and meet my teacher, he was always blocked. And I always, you know, God does certain things so that we, when we try to come back and reason stuff out in our mind later on, when he brings everything to fruition, for us to be able to recognize, hey, this was in place, this was in place, that was in place. You know, God did not want that man to meet my teacher because he would have blown her cover. Because he was a minister. And he had the Holy Spirit. He would have recognized instantly that she was not a human being. So people said, oh, well, no, I don't believe that. You know, that can't be so. Well, the scriptures say, be careful how you entertain strangers, because you might entertain an angel unaware. Uh-oh, you don't know your word, do you? We come in contact with angels on a daily basis. But a lot of times people don't know because their senses are seared, because they're so far gone in sin that they don't know. You know, I didn't know because I was not full of the Holy Ghost at that time. And so he didn't get to meet her or nothing like that, because I told her about him too. You know, I didn't just tell him about her. I told her about him too. And because she further explained to me, I guess, like the things that he was trying to tell me about the session I had with him with the cup and all that. And so this woman made a very impact on my life. She, a lot of the things that I deal with and that I've dealt with in ministry over the years, she started setting the stage for it then. She started letting me know how I should think about this, and this. I had no idea that this was God one-on-one through his angel giving me instructions for about what was getting ready to take place in my life. And so, mind you, I was 16 years old at the time, because it was my junior year. I set to my calling to preach when I was 20 years old. So we're talking 4 years later, I was in the ministry. So God knows what he's doing. Okay, so graduated from high school and everything. Because that woman made such a huge impact on my life, I wanted to see if I could find her, because I wanted to be able to talk to her again. And so my cousin that went to high school with me, one of the other things that I have that the lady told me about when she was doing my class, she said she also taught a class at Dallas Community College in downtown. I don't know why the name of it's slipping my tongue, but it's the community branch that's downtown. So she, my cousin was going to school there at the downtown branch of the community college. So I told her, I said, well, see if you could look her up in y'all things. So she's an instructor. So she went to look the woman's name up and everything. They had no record of ever having her as an instructor there. So, you know, that kind of did something to me, because I was like, I know this woman was no liar. So I began to go through my school to see if they had any records of her. Now that I already graduated, to see if they had any records of her there because I knew that if you was a substitute teacher, that they had like your phone number, you know, the record of like your phone number. Because my daddy substituted at my high school. Matter of fact, he had substituted me one day in one of my classes at my high school, and it was funny. But so I knew that they had their numbers and stuff on records. When I went in to get this information, they said they had no record of her. And I'm like, how you don't have a record of somebody that substituted a whole semester? And y'all, we talking that this was no more than 2 years later. No more than 2 years later when I was looking for this. And I never forget, I think I had stepped outside of my house because it was really disturbing me about all this stuff. And I never forget because I never forget looking at the tree that's in my front yard. And it's clear as day. The Holy Spirit told me, he said, you can't find the records of her because she's not a human being. She was an angel. I was like, huh? So I was like, what? Because I was like, I didn't know angels could spend that much time with you because we talking a whole semester. But as I look back and I started thinking about everything that had transpired that whole semester and the different things that I noticed, I realized that, oh my God, she really was an angel. Because angels have halos. And I did not, when I kept telling you that it was a, she had this glow, after the Holy Spirit told me who she was, everything clicked. It started making sense. Because the glow that she had, the glow that I was looking at, it was actually a halo. But it, you know how you see the paintings and they have the angels like the halos on top of the head? Her halo was not on top of her head. It was around her face. And it glowed all the time. Because that was one of the things that I always looked at her. I would be staring because of the glow that was on her face. And you all, a couple of years ago, I was in my church, in the church building, because we're not having service currently right now in the building because we got work that needs to get done. But a few years ago, I was in the church and we was having service, and in the middle of the service, I saw her walk in our church building, and she was standing in the center. She had this thing in her hand and she was doing stuff, and it freaked me out because I wasn't expecting to see her. And so I saw her and I was like, oh my God, that's that angel. I said, that's the lady that I saw in high school. And I was like, oh my God. And so you got to understand something. The spirit realm is so real. God is so real, and he's as near to us as we will allow him to be. You know, I know it's a lot of people out there. Y'all, I'm not going to lie to you. It's some things that I've heard that I question, because I'll be like, Lord, I don't know. Because, you know, stuff, when it's God, it's going to bear witness with your spirit. And it's some things that I've heard that don't bear witness with my spirit. It's some things out there. Because y'all do know, for every original thing, there is a fake out there. Okay? So, God deals with me about that a lot of time. And I said, Lord, and it scares me because I'm like, Lord, people are so vulnerable in this hour and season. Because they looking for, I want to understand the spirit realm. I want to, you know, be close to God. And so for years, a lot of things that I experienced spiritually, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want anybody to think I was crazy. As I get into these testimonies, like I said, this is my last one I'm going to talk about for the day. As I get into these testimonies over the next however long God allowed me to do it, you're going to find out that I've had a lot of experiences. So this angel being with me for a whole semester was a wild factor, but hey, she was just the front door to what God was gonna really have me to experience. And As a child, I had some experiences. I'm going to talk about those things, some of the experiences that I had as a child with God, His angels, and miracles. So I want you to come back, focus, come back in and, hearing stuff, whatever the Spirit of God is saying. And I want you to be encouraged. I noticed that people are not really listening to the encounters with God, his holy angels and miracles. I don't know why, but I put this out here because I'm being obedient to God. And I'm just going to be real honest. I know some people might not like what I'm getting ready to say, but I got to be honest. When the Spirit of God came to me and he told me to give these testimonies, he said, because one, you are a female. And he told me I was a black female at that. And here in the United States, you really don't hear black people giving their full spiritual experiences with God. Now, we see it in our counterparts, like in Africa, Jamaica, different parts, of the world where our counterparts are, they have awesome testimonies that they give out and everything. We hear those things. Here in the United States, you don't see it as much. And so the Lord dealt with me about that. He was like, people need to know that there's people right here in the United States. And for those who live here in Dallas, you need to know there's people local. You know, I look at all these ministries that have come into the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex area over the years who are prophetic or apostolic, but I've lived here all my life. And I've had many experiences with God. And God came to me at a time where I was in a church where I was not being taught about spiritual things whatsoever. My church that I grew up in was in sin. My pastor was in sin. I mean, there was a darkness inside of my church that was so thick, I could feel it. Later on, I found out that it was witchcraft, that people had actually planted certain things in the church. And so, and all those things affected my pastor's health. My pastor ended up having MS. Those were all the results of the things that was going on in that church. It was a lot of stuff going on. And so it was a darkness there. But if God could love me so much that I was in a place that was religious, where there was darkness, and he could bring light into my life. And my grandmother had been gone since I was like 5 years old, and she was the one that prayed me into the kingdom. He was honoring her prayers, but he was also looking over the call that was on my life. And I can tell you that God really loves you. I can tell you that God really wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to know him. There's a movement that scares me right now where people are always talking about angels. I know God told me to put in my testimonies about the encounters with God, also my encounters with angels and my encounters with miracles. He told me to put this off in here. And he said, I want you to put it off in here. He said, because when you talk about it, you're not talking about it in a sense to glorify angels. There's a scary move out there where it's almost like people are trying to glorify angels. Now, I'm grateful to the angels of God. Oh, my God. The Lord know I am grateful, and they know I'm grateful. I am very thankful for the angels of God, but we're supposed to give God the glory. We're supposed to give God the honor because they are ministers of God just like we are. They're working for God the same way we're working for God. And so we have to understand that God is so awesome. He's so lovely. He's so precious. And he loves his people. He loved his people enough to be humiliated, to be beaten up and destroyed in his body, and to suffer death just because of us. And we should be grateful. We should be grateful. I love the Lord, and I love God's people. And my prayer is that you truly come to know God. that you will come to have encounters with God for yourself. So I want to thank you once again for tuning in with me on today. We will have service because this is a Sunday. This is September 11, 2022. We will have service this afternoon, somewhere between 2:30 and 4 p.m. Look forward to seeing you there. Until then, you may the Lord bless you. May God keep you. May his face smile upon you. In Jesus' name, I'm ending the cast.